The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
In about 49 hours, we'll know the final four for the college football playoff. What happens tomorrow on the field? That's up to Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, and Cincinnati. What happens Sunday in the boardroom? Anybody's guess. It's like Succession, you know? Everybody's going to be screaming at each other, what's the play? Buzz off! Really likable people, right? I mean, that's simple. Questions to marinate going into the most important weekend of the college football season. Can Alabama beat Georgia? Can Alabama keep it close enough with Georgia to stay in the top four? Can Cincinnati close the deal? Can Michigan close the deal? Does Oklahoma State have a chance if they go big over top 10 Baylor? Let's start with Georgia, Alabama, because somebody's going to lose. Something's going to change. How does it play out? Can Alabama win? Can they lose and stay in the top four? Emily Kaplan, around the horn to you.
So I don't think Alabama wins this game. I think the only reason way they stay in is if they lose close and they get some help from others. Nick Saban has been telegraphing to us all season long that he doesn't think this is a dynastic Alabama team. Remember that rant right before Thanksgiving where he was saying, oh, all of these self-absorbed Alabama fans. And guys, I've watched Georgia this year, 12 games. Guess what? They're really good. Alabama's going to struggle to establish a run against them. They allow less than 80 yards per game on the run game. They're going to struggle to block against them. So Alabama loses and needs some help.
That was the analysis there. They're really good. I bought. You had the 80 yards. All right, I'll give you
real
that.
Real good.
Woody Page, I'll bring you in here. Can Alabama beat Georgia? Can they lose but stay in the top four?
Well, I think I'm about to change my mind. I didn't know that Georgia was really good. So when you put that into the equation, here's what I really believe. Alabama's got no chance. If they lose this game, and they are going to lose against Georgia, Georgia's a much better team this year than Alabama, particularly offensively and defensively and special teams, because Alabama only has one healthy running back, and he's not very healthy. They don't have a very good offensive line. We know that Bryce Young is going to be under duress, as Queen once said,
the entire game. Lyric? Okay. Under pressure, Woody, under pressure. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is turning into Succession. Let's go to Ramona Shelburne here. I'll get back to you, Woody. Alabama, have any chance against Georgia? Any chance to stay in the top four, Momo?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, so if we're talking Succession, Emily Kaplan can play Maeve of Easttown and probably Shiv from Succession, too.
True.
I'm staring at it. I can't get over that. Wow.
So versatile.
I think Alabama does have a chance. And I'm good. And I think Nick Saban has been, I think he's been downplaying this a little bit. They've won close games, and there's no substitute for pulling out tough games, building confidence from that. Woody, you're right. Georgia should win this game. Alabama is not as good as they have been in the past. They don't have a great running game. Georgia's defense is excellent. But Georgia has not played in very many close games. They've only had one in the second half. They've only had one game that was within 14 points. Yeah. So if this game is close, if it's low scoring, all those doubts from previous years where Alabama beats them, I don't see Tua coming off the bench in the second half, but all those doubts keep creeping up on Georgia.
Okay. All right, Monica, we'll turn to you here. Can Alabama beat Georgia? Can they do enough to stay in the top four?
I really just wanted more of Woody's remixed lyrics, but I don't think Alabama is going to win this game. But I do agree with Ramona. When you look at the three common opponents that these teams had, yes, Georgia steamrolled them by 100-plus points or so, but Alabama found out a way to win a total combined, I believe, of around 15 points. That matters, especially when you've got a coach like Nick Saban. He's been downplaying this team publicly all season because that's strategic. Internally, if Bryce Young can get out of the pocket and hit those downfield, those longer passes, they'll have a chance. And I know Robinson has been banged up at that running back spot, but I do think that there's a chance that Alabama pulls off something crazy.
I'm with you, Monica. The idea that Saban's been playing it up, Emily, you think it's because he thinks his team's not dynastic, how you said it. I think he's playing it up just to try to gin his team up and get them up. And if it is to be said so, so it be so. We'll move on. Who is more susceptible to a loss and falling out of the top four, Woody, Michigan or Cincinnati?
I think it's Cincinnati. I think they're playing a tougher opponent in Houston. I think it's going to be more difficult. They struggled throughout the entire season against teams that were inferior that would give them play, particularly the last five or six games. They haven't looked that impressive. But here's what I really think is if I'm in that committee and I'm in that room, I'm saying I don't want Alabama back. Let's give somebody else another chance this year rather than Alabama. So I don't think even staying close is going to make a difference for Alabama. But I think that the biggest struggle, Michigan's going to win. Iowa was good at the beginning of the season. They're great as a turnover team. You know that's going to be the emphasis by Michigan is don't give them any turnovers.
Woody, I just noticed you've started this thing saying, here's what I really believe. Are you suggesting everything you said before that is something you don't believe? Ramona Shelburne of Cincinnati and Michigan, who's most susceptible to a loss here?
It is probably Cincinnati, but like Michigan is, I think Michigan's really good. I also am a Stanford girl and I have fondness for Jim Harbaugh, so I think he's finally got the team going in the right place there. Woody's right. I was 12-0 when they win the turnover battle.
Okay.
And they run the ball. They're exactly the tie. Except I had the stat he just said. I'm just saying.
All right.
But I think they both win. I think this sets up as these four with Alabama potentially beating Georgia, and it's just the same four that are in right now.
Okay. And Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, I feel like everyone worries about the post-rivalry week win letdown the next week, but the way Michigan beat down on Ohio State was so impressive. John Madden texted John Harbaugh after that game and said, that is the best offensive line play I have ever seen. Yes, John Madden is texting, and he's 85 years old, which is quite impressive to me. So Iowa, bottom 10 in offense. I just think Michigan wins, and maybe Cincinnati's a little more susceptible.
Monica, anything going to shake here, Cincinnati or Michigan? Either of them susceptible?
I do think it's Cincy that's a little bit more susceptible because the Cougs are second in havoc rate, which is a stat I absolutely love because it's just absolute madness.
Havoc rate, there we go.
Their conference, doesn't do them any favors. I think that big win for Michigan is huge in this conversation over Ohio State.
Woody, any chance Oklahoma State goes big over Baylor? Baylor's a top 10 team. That'll give them three top 10 wins this season. Any chance Oklahoma State can move in?
Yes, but it's just a bare chance because I think Baylor is going to give them quite a game. I mean, the Cowboys beat them before, but it wasn't much of a difference. So their chances.
And Emily, you have a view about Notre Dame going into this weekend, even though they don't play.
Yeah, see, Tony, you wonder what's going on in that boardroom. I'm telling you, they're using the word you hate to use. It rhymes with schmerative. And I think that Notre Dame and everything that they've gone through this year, they're going to want to have them in because, you know, schmerative.
This is a Friday show if there
That's
ever was
great.
One. All right.
That was great.
We'll move on.
That
Cowboys
no
27, Saints 17.
No wins.
Adversity win is what Mike McCarthy called it. Ugly win. However you want to define it, win. Mike McCarthy wasn't even on the sidelines last night. There was a point in the fourth quarter when it was Prescott and it was Hill, and they were trading three and outs and interceptions. It wasn't a beautiful game, but it had great personality. Woody Page, how do you define last night's win?
Well, as the leader on Around the Horn in havoc rate, I have to tell
definitely
you.
Definitely true. Absolutely, Woody.
The Saints 100%. Told me last night by watching them that they're not going to be in the playoffs. Hill, I wonder whether he's even going to be able to come back. They're thinking about putting a pin in that finger. Really, is he going to be able to play again? That's sort of a Russell Wilson injury, it seemed like to me. And on the other side, the Dallas Cowboys, were they really that impressive? Super Bowl impressive? I don't believe so. Elliott doesn't look like he's healthy whatsoever. Their defense is outstanding. I will give you that. But offensively, Dak Prescott doesn't look like he's totally back. I'm not seeing much out of the wide receivers. The tight end is not really a part of the game. The offensive line hasn't been that special. I don't think either club showed us last night that they are destined to play deep into the playoffs.
Ramona Shelburne, last night, adversity win is what Mike McCarthy called it for the Cowboys. What do you call it?
I'd say ragged. I mean, look, we watched it because we were on the show and we had to talk about it the next day, but that was not a pretty game to watch.
Did you say ragged or ratchet? I'm sorry, I just...
either one would work, actually. I said ragged, though. but Dallas won the game, and they won it with Amari Cooper, who looked really tired and winded after coming off COVID, with half the staff out, with Ezekiel Elliott clearly hurting. I thought Pollard was really good. And there's, if you're an optimist and you look at it and say, they still got the win by 10 points on the road in New Orleans, a tough place to play. I think it's a good character win for
Monica
Dallas.
McNutt?
There's a nicer word. Character win.
I hate that we need to define wins. A win is a win. Like, if these dudes had dropped three in a row, then we'd be having a whole nother conversation. But you find a way to win. That's what decent and good teams find a way to do. Okay. And we know that these things are not that.
So you avoided a Ben word there. All right, I'll give you a little credit for that. Specifically, on the offense, this was the first game, Monica, they had, well, their starting unit together, and you saw them come out. They didn't light up the scoreboard. Concern?
I'm not, because it's what are we just hit December, and I think that there is some promise with this group. If everything Woody that said is correct in terms of folks getting healthy, yeah, the season is long, but there's a lot of tape at this point. So I think all the razzle dazzle that we saw early in the season, people just want to compete, and it's not like Sean Payton is some slouch on the other end.
And Emily Kaplan, adversity win for Cowboys, how do you define it?
Meh is a very meh win. The offense couldn't pull away, so the defense had to save the day. There's one silver lining, though. Micah Parsons, the rookie who went to this incredible institution, Linebacker University, you might have heard of it, 23 pressures in his last three games. The only guy that's had more pressures in a three-game stretch of the last 5 years is J.J. Watt. So feel good about him. Don't feel good about the offense. Maybe win the NFC East, but you can't win a playoff game if you're playing like the Cowboys right now.
We've been horned. We'll take a break. Coming up, do we have an accent mystery in these here parts?
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, family.
By yourself.
Oh, no.
Let me get that.
Around the Horn is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The NFL suspending Antonio Brown 3 games. League says it's for misrepresenting his vaccination status to the league. Sources told ESPN's Dan Graziano the league's investigation found that Brown brought a fake vaccination card with him to training camp. But shortly after he arrived, someone told him he can get in trouble for it, so he made the decision to get vaccinated. After everything the league went through with Aaron Rodgers, he was fined for not upholding protocol, not for his comments to the media or misrepresentation. And whether you view this differently or in a similar light, and how you consider the reaction to Rodgers and the reaction to Brown, Ramona, where do you come down on the 3 games?
I'm good with the 3 games because it's not just that he can't play 3 games. He's already out with an ankle injury, but he loses all that money. It's $300,000 he's losing. I don't like that it's that Aaron Rodgers only got fined $14,000. I mean, to me, Antonio Brown, as bad as that is to have a fake vaccination card, at least he still went and got vaccinated. Aaron Rodgers flouted the COVID protocols all season until he finally got COVID. So even though the league knew he wasn't vaccinated, he was flouting
the protocols. But the league is not mandating vaccination. They are allowing players to be unvaccinated.
No, but he was not abiding by the protocols at all.
Woody Page?
Ramona and I disagree. I think he should have been suspended for the rest of the year without pay. I don't think this is a misdemeanor. I think it's a felony in terms of the vaccination. And after what Tom Brady did, asking the Buccaneers to bring him in, letting him stay at his house, bringing him back again this year, and Bruce Arians doing it when he didn't really want to, and this is how you show them that you care about what they did for you? No, not at all.
Emily Kaplan.
The only reason that this got attention is because it's Antonio Brown, who's always getting headlines for the wrong reasons. If he didn't stiff his chef, we would have never known about it. I think the three games is pretty weak, and it shows that the NFL and the NFLPA just want this to go away. Because if it's more, I think it opens the floodgates. And think how easy it was to prove that all of these three guys were fake. Then I believe that there's way more guys in the league who do have fakes.
So you believe this shows that the NFL doubts whether their players are really living by the protocol. Monica McNutt, how about you?
There's every reason to doubt that. I agree with Emily. I'm okay with the three games. I'm more pissed about this if I'm a teammate of Antonio Brown's. You've lied to me and you've taken away my ability to decide how to interact with you. Yeah, he gets vaccinated after the fact, but the idea that this thing would only affect you and you'd be that selfish really, really bothers me from a teammate standpoint.
Bruce Arians, a coach in the 70s, a coach on staff or an assistant to a coach on staff, has been through cancer. But once again, Ramona, when you compare it to Rodgers, I mean, the league says you can be unvaccinated and go through the protocol, and they found out in some cases he had it. Remember, Rodgers misrepresented to the media, not to the league. Yeah. He tried to make his case to the league, and they declined it, but this is...
Yeah, but he was also walking around without a mask on in situations...
Right, and that's why he had a mask on. We'll move on. Chargers-Bengals Sunday. Oh, I love this game. Two highly drafted quarterbacks. I mean, this is right in our face. You can't miss this one. Who would you rather have as your franchise quarterback, Woody? Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow?
Well, I'd like to have either one of them to begin with, but if you do the eye test... Joe Herbert, even though he had a bad game against the Broncos, leading the league in quarterback rating at 85.8. The guy was the offensive rookie of the year last year. He's the guy going forward I want on my team.
So you're leaning Herbert. Okay. Emily Kaplan, how about you?
Not leaning.
Give me Joe Burrow. Last year, everyone's all high on Herbert, think he's the next best thing, but it's been a precipitous drop. I don't know if it's him or play calling. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow's team just keeps improving. He keeps improving. He's just got that it factor.
Okay. Monica McNutt, who are you taking?
It's Burrow, baby. Come on, Woody. If Burrow hadn't gotten hurt, that was going to be his award. Cut it out.
Okay. Ramona Shelburne, do you have any stats or analysis you'd like to provide here?
Well, look, Justin Herbert has got me watching the Chargers. I never thought I would watch the Chargers when they move from San Diego to L.A. It's like he plays 17 road games a year. He plays in L.A. Okay. He's right. To steal one of Emily Kaplan's lines, he's really good.
Yeah? And Joe Burrow, are you not watching the Bengals as well? I mean, you're watching the red zone, so you're watching everybody.
Yeah, I'm watching the red zone. But no,
well,
but
the thing is, these guys were drafted in the same draft. Burrow was taken first overall, of course. Cincinnati says they don't regret that in the least, nor should they. I mean, they're in playoff position right now. All right, so we're borderline split there. We'll move on. I do declare we have a buy or sell three here on these. Yeah,
fall. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family.
All right, just for comparison's sake, here's Brian Kelly. This was last week when he's with Notre Dame.
The last 12 years have been the most incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family.
All right, we all love this, of course. Monica, listen, Kelly's being mocked for this, but let me ask it to you this way. Is any part of this smart to lead in, show your versatility, and lead into your new job and surroundings?
The only way that it's smart is if you admit that you are intentionally doing this as a way of endearing yourself. We all made our rounds through local TV, and they all said, when you get to a new market, don't fake it because the people know. Yeah, this is gross. Why?
Emily Kaplan.
You know, every time I go to Canada, after a few hours, I find myself saying sorry. And
see?
Then I catch myself.
Yes,
I'm like, you
okay.
You sound like an idiot, and maybe it's insulting, so I stop. Honestly, code switching is a thing. You should look it up. He does need a recruit. However, he just sounds phony, so I hope he realizes there's ways to connect with people without trying to sound like them.
Woody Page, you're a son of the South, of course. How did you hear Brian Kelly?
I didn't hear it at all because he wasn't even close to what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it's not Louisiana even, right?
Stupid.
Yeah.
I want to hear him say Baton Rouge and Nolens. And when he does that, we'll really know whether he is faking it or just really trying to adopt himself.
Ramona Shelburne.
You're asking the Valley Girl over here? I mean, like, you know, I don't. Look, I think it's embarrassing. Like, if you're going to pick up a word here or there, a little Southern drawl, you got to do that a couple months in. You can't do it right off the bat like that.
None of you thought it was endearing? Like, I mean,
it's a bad week for him. It's a bad week. He makes his team wake up at 7 in the morning for an 11-minute meeting.
Oh, we know. We know that.
Like, come on.
We know
that Meredith. Except he has $100 million.
Here's the thing. It was there are Southern accents, and then there's Louisiana is a different accent than all other parts of the South, where Woody's from, and Tennessee. And yeah, this wasn't even close. All right. Shelburne, Paige. Taking a break right here. Front row seats for Showdown. Emily Kaplan, Monica McNutt. 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Around the Horn is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
18 in a row for the Phoenix Suns. And now back on the court immediately, and it's the Warriors again. No Devin Booker tonight. Hamstring still bothering him. Golden State's making adjustments too, Monica McNutt, you know it. Anyway, Phoenix gets to 19 tonight, beats Golden State again.
I do think that the Suns streak stops here, Tony. I just think the Warriors are going to make those adjustments. One being Steph Curry will not shoot 4 from 21 for the field, and I think the absence of Devin Booker in this ballgame is going to be huge, and it's in San Francisco.
Emily?
The Suns are 9-0 on the road, and I do think Steph Curry will shoot that poorly if they keep putting Mikal Bridges on him. He was 1-for-8 shooting with Bridges as the primary defender. Love that matchup.
Okay, yeah, the Curry stopper. Bridges, huh? That's what you're going with here, Kevin? I think it's 9-1 on the road.
I build Bridges.
But I'll give the point to Monica McNutt. We'll move on. Last night, the biggest win in NBA history. Grizzlies beat the Thunder by 73. Home fans knew it was history in the fourth quarter. They're shouting defense when they're up 78. Previous record was 68, Cavs over the Heat in 91. So it's a box score like you've never seen before in the history of the sport. Look at the plus minuses. Emily, what's the number one thing that jumps out at you from this game?
You just heard it when I tuned in and hear the crowd shouting defense when they're up 78. First, that's just savage. Secondly, yelling defense at an NBA game. Wow, chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm. Monica?
Jared Jackson, 27, I love. But also, Drake got a new set of parents. He was at this ball game sitting next to a very nice couple in Oklahoma that didn't know who he was. That's the best story that came out of this.
What? No. No. It was that they won by 73. Oh, my goodness.
Now,
congrats, Emily. 0 points. You win today's showdown.
Want to give a shout-out to the Yeshiva University Maccabee basketball team. They have a 44-game winning streak. It's the longest in the NCAA currently. Also, that began before the pandemic in 2019. Just think of how much adversity we all face. For them to sustain that is incredible. So, mazel to you guys on the sixth night of Hanukkah.
Mazel on the sixth day of Hanukkah. All right.
Hanukkah!
L'chaim.
L'chaim.